guys, welcome to episode 17 of Dash and Holmesy Take Your Hearts. I'm one of your hosts, Dash, along with my co-host, Holmesy. Hello.
It's cool to be back again. Oh, we're back on it, man.
I can't believe this. I cannot believe we're actually going to be sitting down and talking about Persona again after...
For a cheeky drop in the water. Let's go.
Oh, man. It's almost been a year.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah. The last time we talked about Persona was back in, I want to say, April of last year.
Jeez, yeah. Okay, that has been a while.
May. I'm sorry, May. So it has been a while. But the last time we podcasted was back in September.
Yeah. You know what? It's, yeah, time flies, man.
Time has flown.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I know, right? Guys, if you didn't know, this is Dash and Holmesy Take Your Hearts, our book club inspired. I'm only reading off a script. Book club inspired gaming podcast where Holmesy and I have been sitting down for the last 2 years and talking about Persona 5. If you like what you hear today, you can still subscribe to the iTunes feed, which is probably useless, but you can still go back and listen to our entire catalog from episode 1 right up to episode 17 and a couple of sneaky episodes in between. But yeah, if you like what you hear today, make sure that you follow us over on iTunes and Spotify. We can give us those cheeky 5-star ratings and we'd love for a review there as well. And also find the VODs entirely on dashgamer.com. So, Holmesy, we are here today because we have been blessed. We've been given the privilege. Blessed. We've been given the privilege of being given the, basically, an early copy, a almost month early copy of Persona 5 Royal to sit down and talk about today and review. Thanks to the kind folk over at 5-Star Games who provided us those review codes.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Holmesy, we're going to be talking about it a little bit today. Obviously, I have played the entire game. You've played part of the game. So what we're going to do today is we're going to be bouncing some questions back and forth between the both of us just to kind of gauge the differences between the vanilla version of Persona 5 and Persona 5 Royal. Some of the story differences, some of the aesthetic differences, character differences, everything. Just all the differences that we can gauge from this we're going to talk about today. So, in saying that, I'll start with you first. What have you gauged so far from some of the aesthetics that have changed within Persona 5 Royal from Persona 5?
So, I don't know whether you can count it as aesthetics, but like... I mean, I immediately noticed there's a new song at the start. The iconic Persona 5 music is now different. We've got a new tune at the start, which is really, really cool.
Yep.
And I've already picked up that there's a new phone background or like an animated phone wallpaper, which I thought was really, really nice to see. Yep. There's a new save icon or like a new animated and like, what's the word I'm looking for? It stands out. I can't even think of what the right word is, but prominent as well.
Oh, you talked about the wallpaper that's animated in the phone.
That's like a real, that was a really obvious thing. But the save icon that comes up when
now loading, now saving.
Yeah, when I actually wrapped up, so just before we started this, I finished what I was doing, and when I went to save, I went to hit save because I was so used to saving because I wasn't sure if the game had saved itself.
Yeah.
And down in the bottom left corner, there was a cool like chip or token icon spinning around saying like now saving or something along those lines. So that is far more obvious than I think the old one might have been like a mask floating, like flashing on or off screen to say that it was saving, but... Yeah, like cool little changes like that. I think when you win your fights now as well, there's like the chips or like money or tokens kind of like pop out on screen or fly around. There's like a sound effect when you win your battles now. There's a lot of cool new changes to the game that just make it feel like a little bit different to the OG.
Yeah.
I'm liking it so far though.
One of the things that I noticed almost immediately when I started the game was the dialogue box. Obviously, like once again, we're just jumping into simple stuff here before we get into the big stuff, is the font change in the game as well. I noticed that it's a little bit more basic than the flashy kind of Comic Sans version that they used to use in the game.
Yeah, it's more like Times New Roman vibe looking stuff. Yeah, it's like real clean basic text. Yeah.
I wonder if there was a purpose to that. I don't know essentially whether it's just they just want to change the look of it and keep it cleaner or... But it kind of fits the mold, I guess, with the theme they're going for Royal in a way as well. I noticed, though, that, like, entering into battles as well, they introduced a new theme song for when you ambush an opponent. You rip the mask off when you jump on them, and then the new song that kicks in is called Take Over.
Right. I was going to say, I had that as a question here, and I... Because I've not gotten too far through the start of Kamoshida's Palace, and I was taking people's masks off in the prison area when you're captured.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if it was... I thought, has it just been that long since I played this part of the game that I don't recognize this music? Yeah. Or is this new music? So it is specific music to when you ambush somebody. Yes,
it is brand new music.
Okay, cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
So basically, when you ambush an opponent and rip their mask off, a new theme song hits, which is called Take Over. When you enter a battle, if you just slash them or you get ambushed, it hits that original...
same stuff.
Last Surprise song that just kicks in again. Basically. So there were a couple aesthetic changes. There's some theme music that's changed from the original, which is cool. There are a couple battle sequence changes as well, and some things that are introduced earlier into the game. So one of the things that are introduced as well earlier, and you would have seen this, was baton passes have actually been introduced way earlier into the game than what they are further into the game. So baton passes used to actually be an ability that you would unlock when you would rank up with Makoto as a confidant. She would unlock that ability for you to do baton passes. Now, baton passes are just basically part of the story right at the start of the game. They give you the option to now use baton passes because of one of the key features that have been introduced in Royal, which is the group surprise attack feature. It's not the all-out attack that we had. They still have all-out attacks in the game.
I've seen that already, yeah.
This is like a duo finisher kind of deal, where two characters basically finish off the opponent, basically. You hit that.
Yeah, and I saw that in the preview trailer. So that's what that is. Yeah,
correct. Okay. Yes, yeah. So that's really cool. What else have you noticed, basically, that's changed so far?
I did see the normal... There was, like, the quick heal thing you used to do where it was just, I think, if you're walking around out of battle, you hit square.
Yeah.
And now if you hit square, it comes up as Thief Assist.
Yeah.
Now, I've not progressed as far as... Obviously, I mean, you finished the entire game, so you'll be able to... If, I don't know whether we're allowed to, embargoes, but...
Yeah.
You might be able to shed a bit more light on this if you're allowed, but for me, it just comes up with like auto heal and that was it. But clearly that's designed to have more options in there. So I don't know whether you can speak to what is in there and whether that's like, you know, big no, can't speak yet.
I definitely can. Yeah, yeah. So there are some really cool options that will unlock further into the game. So you do get that auto heal, but you also get like some small things that are really useful when you are about to be ambushed by enemies, or enemies might see you in like some corners or anything like that. Oh, by the way, the hiding aspect of the game is still in there. Like you can hide on a corner, and they still haven't fixed that. So you can still hide on a corner. They can walk right past you and go, nothing there. And
then nothing's there. Yeah.
So that still exists. So like it's easy to hide still in the game. Stealth is just non-existent.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. But when you do pop up that auto heal menu, you will get some options there. And one of them is to actually hit it like a kind of like a smoke grenade kind of deal, like a phantom. Mm-hmm. You know, so you hit that and a puff of smoke just goes everywhere and you bolt and the soldiers won't see you. The shadows will not see you.
Okay, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool option. There are a couple of other healing options as well, I believe, for your mana as well, for your SP, and other deals as well that will become features as you go forward, but you have to rank up with your confidants for those as well. So make sure that you rank up with your confidants so you get more of those features. But that's basically what you will unlock as you go further into the game using that.
That's
menu.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because pushing one button to auto heal was like, it was still really handy instead of having to go menu and heal, but being able to push square and have so many like a slate of options is just nice. It's good.
Exactly.
Good UI.
Have you noticed like so far, obviously with some of the there are some graphical upgrades as well made into the game as well, some texture upgrades, some model upgrades. Have you noticed any of that so far?
I haven't really picked up on too much, visually. Like, it does look a little bit more sharp around the edges. Like, it does look
cleaner,
better than what the other game did.
Yeah,
I think it might just be because of the art style of the game, like the way that it is designed, just the way the game looks in general. I didn't really pick up on like a massive graphical upgrade. One thing I will speak to though is that the load times feel better.
Yeah,
I don't know whether that's something. I mean, I'm using a PS4 Pro, but I'm using like a launch PS4 Pro, so I've not got like the best load times you can get, I guess, compared to like the newer PS4 Pros. I guess they have better ones again, I think.
Really? Okay.
But like even then on a PS4 Pro, it loads quickly.
Yes.
But it still now loads faster than the original Persona 5.
Yes,
like
it does,
my
yeah.
loading screens feel a lot quicker. So like that is definitely something I'm appreciative of. Like obviously, like given that it is such a long game as well.
Yep.
Like being able to cut down those load times is a big deal.
Yeah, so you got to remember that the original Persona 5 was actually optimized for PlayStation 3 before they ported it to PlayStation 4. So
okay, there you go.
Those load times exist because of it being developed for older hardware. When they brought it over to PlayStation 4 with Royal, because this game is developed for PlayStation 4 from the ground up again, like they took the code and basically rebuilt the entire engine.
Nice.
Basically, it does reduce load time. So like even when the part that I noticed immediately was when the calendar pops up on the screen and the dagger hits the calendar, it used to take a little bit, and then it would load. But as soon as that dagger hits the calendar, bing, it clicks over to the next day. Yeah,
okay.
Almost immediately. So like load times are almost non-existent, which is fantastic. I love that. Mm-hmm. Some of the cutscenes have been also rendered in 4K now, so they come up a lot sharper. I mean, it's animation, but
okay.
Yeah, the cutscenes are in 4K now. Everything else is in 4K. There's no HDR in the game, which is kind of a shame, but I mean, it's anime, so
yeah.
It's not like they you really need it.
It's the be all end all no.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's another feature of it. I will ask you. In your interactions so far within coming in and out of the palace as well, what have you noticed in terms of, like, I know, like, you have Sojiro and everything there. Big Daddy Sojiro's back and he's like, make sure you go to school.
I have that as a note. I'm so glad to see that he is. It's cool to see him back again, but it's also weird that he's angry. Like, after finishing the game and him being like, you know, basically you're second dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's angry with me. I don't like this. I need to, like, play the game through and actually make him like me again.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, coming back to it and he's like, after you've won his heart over and everything's been so soft with you for ages and then coming back and he's like, I hate you.
He's forgotten everything.
Yeah, exactly. Have you noticed though that some of the sequences in between that as well, some of the dialogue options, you now get additional, like there's a lot more dialogue than there was in the original?
Like I was talking about with the music, because it's been a long time since I played the start of this game, I had the exact same thing where I'm like, do I remember this? Like, am I just forgetting this and this was there, or is it new? And like, you played this game several times through like the OG Persona 5, so you'll know better than anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was all like, I thought I was just having like a brain fart and I'd forgotten this. So there's new dialogue options too. And that's
awesome.
That's good. It makes the start kind of feel like I'm revisiting, you know, an old game with new content. It just makes it feel new again in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I actually notice something as well? This I think I did pick up on.
Mm.
Unless it's either I've noticed this and I forgot about it, or it actually is new. When you start the game, and you meet Sojiro for the first time, and there's the older couple sitting down at the table. Did they always have like actual voice actors, or was that previously just, okay, so I just forgot then. I thought, I was like, is this new, are there new voice lines in some areas of this as well though? Like, are there more voice lines in the game as
a whole? You're right. There are new voice lines.
Okay. Cause I was going to say, I've noticed so much more actual voice in this game compared to like, you press X or whatever, and then Morgana says, like, previously it was like, hey, and then the text comes up, but now there's so much more actual voice acting in the game and it just makes it so much more, I don't know, I feel like I retain more when I'm hearing someone speak and read it at the same time.
I agree. It actually helps a lot. And it doesn't take, like, I always said that, like, playing the game and when it was just text on screen instead of actual voice acting, it kind of makes people want to go, all right, skip. But instead, because there is actual voice acting, people will sit there and listen to this because it's actually been explained to them.
100%. Yeah.
And I feel like it comes down more to an intimate vibe that comes out of somebody actually talking to you. It grasps your attention way better than what, you know, just text to screen will do. And that's something I truly appreciated when, you know, playing through this again and experiencing, you know, more emotion, more character comes through when there's more lines coming out of these characters as well. Yes. And really makes me appreciate that too. That's actually funny that you bring up that too. Like one of the things I will say though is there has been some changes in terms of some of the voice actors in the game. The one that I have picked up on, definitely have picked up on in the English dub version of it, was Dr. Tai Takemi. Dr. Tai Takemi's voice actor has changed.
I haven't gotten to that point in the game yet. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, like how her voice is a little bit like high and she's low, like low voice?
Yeah, they've changed. A very somber voice.
Yeah, it's no longer that. She's no longer, it's a lot more high pitched. I noticed straight away, I'm like listening to her, I'm like, why doesn't she sound the same?
Something's different here.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so her voice actor's completely changed. I don't know, but I might be wrong, but could be right, that Iwai, the guy who owns the airsoft shop, his voice actor may have changed, but they may have kept it as close to the original voice actor as they could. But I might be wrong on that. I'm not too sure, but yeah, definitely Dr. Takemi's voice actor has completely changed. So it kind of threw me through a little bit of a loop because I always was used to, the doctor always being a little bit more firmer with her voice. So this is a little bit different. But yeah, some of the lines that in the game have been confirmed to be either revised or changed based on also some of the story elements that will come, some of the plot that changes further into the game, obviously. That's understandable as well.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you have any more questions that you want to ask me?
I got a pretty... I know this might be a big spin-off question. This might add like a lot to talk about, but
yeah.
So there's a new character in the game,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But much of this game looks and feels still, as a whole, it's still the same game, right?
Yep.
So this game launches for $99.95 in Australia.
Yep.
What warrants this being a $100 game when you could play Persona 5 and probably you can get a pre-owned copy of Persona 5 for $50. Why would someone buy this for $100 when you can play this possibly the same game, basically, like not a revised Persona 5?
Mm.
Why buy Persona 5 Royal?
So these are some of the things we've just discussed, basically what makes this worth getting over the original.
Yeah.
Faster load times, better aesthetics, better graphics, some of the story elements as well have changed within the game. Can I say this? Yeah, I can. So I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil too much of the game. So I'll talk about one specific event that has actually been talked about on the internet lately, which was... So there were, and you'll recall this as well, the two homosexual men who approach Ryuji and your protagonist. Within the city and take Ryuji away. That has been changed. That no longer happens. There was an event there that they changed it around. That's one of the things that happened, but that's just an example of how much they have actually revised the game too. There are certain elements within the game. There are certain plot points within the game that include characters further down the line. So I'm talking like Akechi as well. It's made obvious in some of the trailers and everything that we do see Akechi later in the game. Can't say why. We've been pretty much restricted under embargo conditions not to tell anybody why, so we can't say why. But Akechi does make an appearance, and there is additional dialogue with Akechi. Akechi also, his confidant stats change so much within this. So like... the way you upgrade Akechi in this, you have to hang out with him just like you would hang out with anybody else. You just don't simply have story elements. So that was something that I wish you kind of picked up on when we started the series, which you never did, which was Akechi. We never had to hang out with Akechi to upgrade his confidant.
I did notice that. Yeah.
Oh, you did notice
that. I just never really thought to talk about it. Yeah. Because everybody else requires hanging out, but Akechi is just naturally progresses as you play the game. Yeah.
Right.
So now you have to hang out with him in this version, yeah?
So, yeah, exactly. So what a lot of people picked up on that because the antagonist of Persona 4, for spoilers, anybody who hasn't played Persona 4 yet, the antagonist of Persona 4 did the same thing, had the same kind of deal. where you would only upgrade his confidant rank within story elements, never had to actually hang out with him or anything. So when that actually started happening within Persona 5, people were like, oh, okay, so this might be the, and I quote, Adachi, because that's his name from Persona 4. This might be the Adachi of Persona 5. This guy might actually be a bad guy. Right. Akechi, being the way he is, and obviously I'm saying this in terms of people who have played Persona 5 already. So if you haven't, you know, stop listening and play the game first before you listen to this. but the thing is with Akechi, they've introduced this plot for newcomers who come into the game, and so that they get that twist at the end that we experienced when we first played the game, which was he was actually a bad guy. But you have to make that effort with the guys because obviously he becomes a phantom thief for you, with you. Can I talk about? No, I can't talk about that. Okay, so there was something that came to mind just then that I cannot say, but...
That's all right.
yeah, so that is one of the things as well. I'd say that the aesthetics alone, the music alone, it's the map design. So here's another thing as well. Map design has changed. So in each palace, it's different. Right now where you are, it's the same. And that's why
I noticed that area is still the same, but once you actually get into Kamoshida's or like all the future ones, they're different inside. Because I remember you saying before we even recorded today, like you went into Kamoshida's and you're like, wait a minute, where am I?
Yeah, so I played the Japanese version back when it released in October. And I remember I sent you a photo of getting up to a certain point. So where you are, if you played maybe another 10 minutes or so, you would have gotten up to a point and you would have been like, I don't remember this.
Yeah,
and that's the point where I sent you that snap back in October or November-ish, where I was like, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Obviously, playing the game in Japanese text was hard because some of it I didn't understand. But playing most of it, I understood what was happening, except for a lot of major parts where I got stuck. I had to jump onto YouTube and have a look at some of the translations so that I could progress. You will find that there are story elements, there are plot points of the game that will have you hit a wall and you'll be like, oh shit, this is way different to the original.
Okay.
So the maps, the boss battles as well have completely changed. They've revamped them. So the general outline of, like, for example, Kamoshida's boss battle, which was just simply trying to get the crown off his head and everything else, like hitting him constantly and then like trying to get the crown off his head. There are new... attacks from him as well. Like, he will blast you. Like, even if you are playing it on easy, you're dead. It's just hard. Okay. It is hard. A lot of times I found myself having to switch back and forth between story mode and easy so that I could just progress through some of the events. So it is kind of tailor-made as well for experienced Persona fans, but it is enough. I think, let's be honest, you say $99.95 is a regular retail price, or recommended retail price.
That's EB Games' launch price. Like, right. I'm sure other places have it cheaper.
It'll be $69 when it launches.
Yeah.
If you're asking me if this is worth $69 at launch price, yes, definitely. 100% hands down.
Yeah. I mean, for what, $69 versus $54 pre-owned from some places, then yeah, I guess like what, $15 more, I would do that. Yeah.
Exactly. So the thing is as well, some of the, you get DLC that was included in the first game into this as well, which is really cool.
That's cool.
They're unlockables. So you walk around, which is something I'll talk about in a second. You know, they're unlockables within story elements and plot events as well. You also get, what was it? Because of the new confidants you actually meet as well, there are new features that you will unlock. And I can't talk about them all because a lot of them are unlocked after a certain date. So that's something else that's really cool. But some of the older confidants you also try to rank up will give you new moves, baton pass, weapons, and all that. So baton passes as well is a feature that upgrades you during battle.
Okay.
So now it's not just simply, baton pass because you got a weak hit for this enemy. No, baton pass actually builds your moves up. So the more you actually, like if you hit a weak It'll give you the option to baton pass. You hit that baton pass, you pass it to Ryuji. Ryuji gives it gives the enemy a smack. It actually gives like double the amount of double the amount of power into that punch. Ryuji hits, or double the damage, I should say. Ryuji high fives Morgana. Morgana hits. That's triple.
Oh, so it's like cascading like damage as correct. Well. Yeah. Yes. Okay, I like that. So it's sort of just simply like, yeah, do that, get a crit, and then it stops kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Okay, I like that.
And then it builds up to the dual finisher that I was talking about just before. That's called Showtime. Mm-hmm. And when you hit Showtime, you two of your characters that are in your party will actually like tag team a finisher. Which hits like an insane amount of damage on the enemy. So usually like in a regular battle, that'll be fine. In a boss battle, it's needed. And You'll recall when we talked about like facing, spoilers for anybody who hasn't played the original or this one, I'm about to go into like end game territory of the vanilla. So when you battled the Holy Grail at the end, this is something that will definitely help. Like Showtime is a big, big help, and using it will effectively help you at the end game as well. But making sure that you build up your confidence and your ranking and everything else will help that as well. So
cool.
Just like the original, that's the case. But that's basically what would sell you on buying this version over the original.
Okay.
There's also differences in mementos as well.
Mm-hmm.
So each level of mementos changes. The aesthetics and the design of mementos is different now within each level. Like it was in the original as well, but in this one now, it changes color drastically now. Like mementos was like always an aesthetic red around it, and then like a purplish as you kept going down. Now it changes completely. It's like a blue and orange. It kind of determines where you are.
It's like a bigger... Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. I like that because I noticed everything kind of this was the same. It's like dark train tracks. Cool.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've changed that. How much can I talk about? Yeah, I can talk about this. So each level will... about each chapter of Mementos, I should say, I'll put it that way, will change music as well. So it's not always the same dreary music.
Good.
There's like 5 or 6 tracks that it rotates through. Kichi Joji is a new area to explore. You said that you've been there, haven't you?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. So Kichi Joji is an actual area in Japan, in Tokyo. It's basically a strip for young kids after high school, like in high school, after school, they go there and hang out. There's a bar there called the Penguin Sniper that they all hang out at and play pool and... just play pool and do darts and all that stuff and have drinks and all that. But when I say drinks, I mean it's a high school hangout, so yeah, they're not actually drinking, but yeah. Futaba gets an all-out attack as well in this.
Cool.
Which is really cool. I like that. There's also shiny type enemies. So we talked about this.
Okay.
But the way they work is you can't capture them and use them to your advantage. So it's not Pokemon. But what they do is they help you in battle. So when I say this is they'll still attack you. But if you defeat them first, they will essentially explode and help you defeat the enemies around. So if you've got one shiny there and there's two much more powerful enemies there, attack the shiny. They may strike, but if you attack that shiny, the shiny is going to kill them.
It's big damage to everything around it. Yeah, correct. Okay, cool.
Yeah. What else was there? You tried out the grappling hook, haven't you?
Yeah, so I haven't actually, obviously I've not gone too far into the game past, like the first time you use it, like you get to use it in the prologue bit, like when you're running around the casino.
Yeah.
And you use it there and I was like, oh yeah, I don't even remember going up here. Yeah. Or like through that little bit, like I remember like going up, but I remember using the hook to get up there, of course. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a neat little thing to kind of have in the game and it makes it feel again, like a little bit different. It's not game changing, but like it's still cool. I'm wondering, obviously don't want to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't played the next, or obviously no one's played Royal yet, but
no.
I wonder how much of a role the grappling hook is going to play in like solving puzzles and stuff and actually being involved in puzzles. So that'll be interesting to see too.
Yeah. You also, I'll expand on that in a bit, but you also got introduced to Kasumi, yeah? Kasumi Yoshizawa.
Yes, but no. So she's the new girl, but my interaction with her was very minimal. But she gave up her seat for an elderly lady on the train, and then some other guy snuck in.
Yeah.
she's like, she seems like the very wholesome kind of like friendly, nice character in the whole thing. And she's like, oh, I gave my seat to an old lady, but I see his perspective too because he's very tired and may need the seat. So
yeah.
And then she like chases you down to say thank you and stuff. And it's like all this. Yeah, she does. She's very, yeah, she's a real nice
kind
of vibe character. But that's all I've learned about her. I've seen like the combat that she gets in the very start. Like she used like a rapier.
Yeah.
And she's got like the whole Persona vibes stuff going on too. Yeah. She's pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, the more you learn about her throughout the game, basically you learn that she's a dancer.
Yeah, that's been, I think that was revealed in like some of the teaser trailer stuff. You got to see her doing dancing like the, like earlier before it came out in Japan. Yeah.
So yeah, she's a dancer and, basically that's all you really know about her until basically near the end. There is a moment within the game that, actually I can't talk about this. Halfway through the game, there is a moment where you enter a brand new palace. Briefly.
Okay.
So you stumble into this brand new palace. I won't show it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But you enter this new palace. It's almost like in the middle of nowhere. This palace. It's almost set in the, it's like there's a construction site, and you end up there with her. She's like stumbling into this construction site, and all of a sudden, they stumble into this brand new area, which is a brand new palace, and it's like, what the fuck? Why are you here all of a sudden? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, it's very, I know I'm being very vague, but I'm trying to also not spoil what I'm telling you. But yeah, you stumble into a new palace with her, and then she's like, that's how you basically become friends with her along the, like, she keeps only in contact with you. She doesn't interact with any of the Phantom Thieves during that period.
So that's how they insert her in the story. Okay. Because I was wondering, like, because obviously you never, ever, ever see her in the first game. So, like, how do they insert her into the game without changing the original story? Because it seemed, I was going to say, this has got to be really different having her in it. But if that's the case, then that makes sense. It's just like, it's like, this literally like Persona 5 Final Mix. This is just like a Kingdom Hearts Final Mix game, right?
Correct, correct. You're picking up on that, yeah. So you will stumble into a new palace with her, and yeah, basically I'm being as vague as possible here, but you roam around the palace and everything, but try to find your way out. That's cool. So I'll leave it there at that. There is another new confidant that's essentially the school psychologist. His name is, and I had it down before. Actually, I can pull it up. His name is Dr.
It's a new confidant, you said, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Takudo Maruki. Okay. He is a part-time school counselor and a researcher of cognitive science, with a P, who enters Shujin Academy following Kamoshida's arrest. Yeah, so essentially after Kamoshida's abuse, they bring this guy in for counseling for the students. So
that's cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So he'll play a major part within the story as well. He'll like essentially, he's another confidant that you have to rank up as well and talk to. And like he basically tries to get an understanding of the students around him and how their interactions with Kamoshida was and everything else. Now, going back on what you said, is how similar is Persona 5 to Royal?
Mm.
Yeah, it's Persona 5.
It's the exact same game with more stacked on top.
Exactly. Yeah. So the experience you were getting from Persona 5 to Persona 5 Royal, it's the same experience, but it's the additional features that count here, and some of the like it's a polished version of the game with a lot more to it. Okay. You're getting the complete package, I'll put it that way. Plus, just more stacked on top.
Yeah, I like that. I dig that.
Yeah. Is it worth that full retail price? I'd say yes. Like, personally, yes, because I'm a Persona fanboy.
The one thing I wonder is why they didn't just release this as DLC. But I suppose, like, revamping the game and increasing, like, making better load times, graphical upgrades, new music you can patch in, I'm sure. But, like, the actual performance and visual improvements, I suppose you can't patch that into a game. So I can understand that. Yeah. I wonder how many people will buy it if they've already played Persona 5 Royal. Like obviously I've been given a code of this game. So thanks again, 5-star. I'll obviously, you know, I'll play it in my own time anyway, but I wonder how many people that have spent like 100. It's a lot. I think my brain is in the space of just like, it's a lot of time to ask of somebody just to be like, you've played 100 hours of this game at its base. Here's the exact same game again, plus more game time, but you might spend less playing it because of load times now.
Yeah.
It's a lot to go through again just for a bit of extra content. I wonder how much and how many people are going to be happy with the extra content versus being like, I paid a new game's worth of money for this much to be added on top. Mm. That being said, things like Final Mix for Kingdom Hearts are extraordinarily successful, and if there are hardcore fans of this game out there, it sounds like that's who it's catered towards.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, were you satisfied with Final Mix?
Yeah. I mean, like, I wanted to. I'm a hardcore Kingdom Hearts fan, though. Like, I wanted, like, back when I was playing 1 and 2, I mentioned this in another pod, I think. Like, I wanted to buy a Japanese PS2 just to play Final Mix because I wanted to play it that much.
Yeah.
And there were things in the game that I couldn't get that only certain places could get. So,
yeah,
I think it's definitely Persona 5 fans, I think, are going to be jumping on this straight away. People who haven't played definitely get Royal over the normal one. But the average player, I wonder how many of those are going to actually rebuy the game just to play extra stuff.
Well,
you're not an average player.
No, but the thing is, well, yeah, I'm a hardcore player. But the thing is that I can understand what you're saying. That was one of my major concerns after finishing it primarily on the Japanese version.
Mm.
But once you play through the Westernized version, I could understand why I would want to buy this at full retail price. Because the amount of content that actually comes through afterwards, after understanding everything, I'm like, holy shit, this is like incredible. And the way they've spun this story is amazing. There is so much stuff that I wish we could talk about here, Holmesy, but I can't because we've been put under strict instructions not to. Personally, by the time this comes out, my review will be live. So, like, personally, I'm giving this a 10. If I could give this an 11 out of 10, I would because it's such a great game. It is still one of the best games I've ever played and one of the best stories I've ever experienced. So personally, yes, hands down. If you're going to buy a Persona 5 game and you kind of want to be skimp on it and buy the original, don't do that. Buy the Royal. It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Just so much stuff. And like, I've got a whole list of stuff here that I'm reading that I took down notes for and then I can't talk about because of things. But there is so much stuff, guys, and I would highly recommend it. Holmesy. It has been good to sit down once again with you and talk about Persona 5.
It's been a while. It's good to talk about it again.
Yeah, dude.
As much as we're allowed to.
Exactly. Holmesy, before we do go, tell the fine people where they can find you.
Oh, Holmesy 5 on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, lol. all that good stuff.
PewDiePie on YouTube,
more active now, so. All that good stuff.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for talking to me today about Persona 5 Royal, dude.
Thanks for having me back again, dude.
Thank you so much for doing it, dude. I really appreciate it. Guys, if you didn't know, this has been Dash and Holmesy Take Your Hearts, originally our tri-weekly book club inspired gaming podcast, where Holmesy and I sat down for 2 years and talked about Persona 5. Make sure that you do follow Holmesy over at Holmesy5 on Twitter. You can follow me and on Twitch. And you can follow me on Twitter at DashGamer and at DashGamers for all of our content live on DashGamer.com. You can follow the show over on iTunes and Spotify and give us those cheeky 5-star ratings. And just go back and listen to our back catalog of all of our shows. And also make sure that you catch myself, Ryan Betson, and Paul James over on the Dash Gamer podcast. Every 2 weeks. And right here, this podcast segment will also be included on our podcast, our PlayStation podcast, Operation PlayStation. So make sure that you guys head on over to SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify and follow Operation PlayStation. We would love it if you could and give us those 5-star ratings. Holmesy, we're at the end of this. This is slated as our final episode ever, basically.
All right.
But thank you so much for the last 2 years, dude. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that we could wrap this up, perfectly because we didn't get that opportunity before, unfortunately, but I'm glad that we were able to wrap this project up properly. And this has been a lot of fun doing it with you for the last 2 years. So thank you so much, dude.
No worries. It's the longest I've spent making content for a game, I think, ever. So
it's been great.
It's been a good journey.
That's it, man. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. And until next time, this is been Dash and Holmesy. Take your hearts.
GamerDotCom.